Hello, everyone. It's Bill Thompson, T-Bill, and welcome to Plain Market Talk, where I will provide a straightforward interpretation and analysis of current market news based on my background as a retired Wall Street stockbroker with almost 50 years of experience. And I will also provide business lessons to help you become much more successful with your personal finance, trading, and investments. So let's get started. Hey everyone, it's Bill Thompson, T-Bill, looking to Plain Market Talk. Today's Friday, October 29th, 2021. Okay, it's right about noon right now, so in the middle of the trading day, markets are flat. But we do have a few things going on. We have three earnings misses, big ones from Apple, Amazon, and Starbucks, so we'll talk about that. Inflation's running at a 30-year high, so we'll see what's going on there. Facebook changing its name to Meta, and apparently some investors have been buying the wrong stock. So we'll take a look at what's going on with that. Hertz has announced it's going to be buying even more Teslas than it initially indicated the other day. So we'll see what's going on there. And also, we're going to talk today now about hedge funds. So I had some questions about what are hedge funds. A lot of people have heard of them, but I think a lot of people are just not clear what they are. Okay, so first of all, a mutual fund. What is a mutual fund and compared to a hedge fund? Okay, I'll cover mutual funds in a lot more detail in an upcoming lesson, but basically what a mutual fund is, it's when a large number of investors have pooled their money together. And then basically the money is managed as a group to invest in a collection of stocks, bonds, or some combination of the two. Okay, so mutual funds are open to just about really anybody. The public can invest in mutual funds, and usually you can invest in small amounts of money. So that's the whole idea. You know, maybe you'd like to own all 500 stocks, or 501 technically, that make up the Standard & Poor's 500 index. That would cost you a lot of money. But if your money is pooled together with a large number of other investors, then it becomes feasible. Okay, so what happens, the people that run the mutual funds, portfolio managers, it could be a single individual, a duo, or it could be a team. All right, they get paid as a percentage of assets. Usually it's 1% to 2% of assets per year. It's somewhere in that range. So that's basically how mutual funds work. And what they do is they price at the end of each day. It's called net asset value. Take the value of everything the mutual fund owns, assets, subtract out any liabilities or expenses it might have, and you come up with the value and divide by the number of shares that make up the fund. You come up with net asset value. Okay. By the way, I had an interesting question the other day about liabilities for a mutual fund. Why do they have liabilities? It actually should do with stock settlement. When they make a purchase, as with an individual, you don't have to pay for it until two business days later. So those liabilities, a lot of them are actually involving stock settlements. All right. What's a hedge fund? A hedge fund is also like a mutual fund, except it's not open to the general public. It is only open to very wealthy investors, also known as accredited investors. Okay. Generally, these are individuals that have incomes of at least several hundred thousand dollars a year, or they have a liquid net worth of at least $1 million. What that means, liquid net worth, it's not counting your home or real estate. Liquid net worth means money or investments that you could convert to cash at fair value fairly quickly. All right, so and a lot of hedge funds have much higher requirements. Some say you have to have a liquid net worth of $10 million or $50 million. All right. The principle is basically the same, though. These are considered private investments since they're not being offered to the general public, just to wealthy investors. All right, so the idea is the portfolio managers then take the money in a hedge fund and they invest it in a group of investments. Now, the way they got the name hedge fund is back when these things were started, I think it was the 1940s, if I remember. Anyway, They would actually play both sides of the market. As an example, in an upwards moving economy, they might invest in, like today, it would be high tech companies, companies that do well in an upwards moving economy. But they would also hedge their bets by investing in what are called non-cyclical companies like supermarkets. Supermarkets are generally not affected by economic upturns and downturns. But that's where they got the name hedge funds. Now, today, some of them still do that. What they do is they will buy a collection of stocks and then they will buy put option contracts, which I've talked about in previous lessons, for protection, or hedge themselves other ways. But a lot of them really don't do that anymore, even though they still call themselves hedge funds. What they do is they take investors' money, and like a mutual fund, but unlike a mutual fund, the hedge fund will also go out and borrow large amounts of money to buy even more stock, basically leveraging, trading on margin, as it's called, or even far beyond that. They will do that. They will invest in what are called futures contracts. They will write naked call contracts, which I'll cover in another lesson. They do all kinds of things that mutual funds do not do. And these are much higher risk strategies than mutual funds take. And sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't. So here's the bottom line. For the last 12 or 13 years, first of all, some hedge funds do very well. And there are some hedge fund managers that are well known in the industry for just consistently outperforming the market. But basically, since the financial crisis of 2008, 2009, hedge funds, a lot of them really don't have that great a track record. The idea, here's why. It's not only that their returns are just in line with mutual funds, but they charge much higher fees. I mentioned that hedge funds, or mutual funds, the portfolio managers generally get 1% to 2% of assets. That's the same with hedge funds, but they also take 20% of any profits. And it can really start cutting into investors' returns. So also, the thing about hedge funds, they're not especially liquid. See, a mutual fund, as long as you get the order in, you want to sell some or all of your investment in a mutual fund, as long as you get the order in before 4 o'clock in the afternoon Eastern time, that trade will be done that day at the closing net asset value, and the money's available to you the next business day. If it's Friday, it'll be available Monday. But hedge funds, though, they could set themselves up to where you only get your money out once a month, or even longer. They do all kinds of things. They're not really designed to be like in and out type investments. And so you have that liquidity issue also. But wealthy investors do like them. Again, some hedge funds do really well. Some of them, I think, are better almost at telling a story than investing. They market themselves well. But anyway, the returns are mixed. So that's basically what hedge funds are. I know they got hit hard last year. They were the ones that had shorted GameStop and, you know, some of those other companies out there that then the individual investors on Robinhood began buying and pushing up. And, you know, I covered that whole scenario in a previous session, but I'll go over that stuff again. But anyway, they got caught in what was called a short squeeze. All right. So in a nutshell, that's basically what hedge funds are. Okay. So let's move on here. All right, we got inflation running at a 30-year high. Inflation, continuous rise in prices. What's been happening since our economy reopened? We've been seeing inflation running at around a 3.5% to 4.5% annual rate, which is about twice of what it has been running. Okay, so a lot of you may have heard of the Consumer Price Index, you know, a measure of price, the increases or sometimes decreases for a wide basket of products and services that a typical consumer will purchase. Well, the Federal Reserve, the central banking system of the United States, they actually look at something else, something I've covered on previous lessons, but we'll cover again. You know, I know we have a lot of new listeners and it's definitely appreciated. What they look at is the PCE index, Personal Consumption Expenditures Inflation Index. It also is a measure of prices, and it's showing that when you take out food prices, because food prices are affected more by weather than anything, and transportation, other issues, and you also take out energy prices, oil and gas, that's affected by a lot of things, including politics, just lots of stuff. Anyway, They back that out and they take what's called a core rate of inflation. And they found this is going up at an annualized rate of 3.6%. Highest number in 30 years. Okay. So the Federal Reserve has indicated in their previous statements, they consider this to be transitory. That is the exact word they use, that this is a temporary increase. And so at this time, they're not looking to take any actions to combat inflation. They're still pumping $120 billion a month into the economy since they've been doing since March of 2020, because they're also balancing against the supply chain issues. Just lots of things going on. All right. So anyway, the PCE index, just in a nutshell, what makes that difference than the consumer price index? The consumer price index is a survey of consumers. The PCE index is a survey of consumers and businesses. It's more all encompassing. And the PCE index will take into account quick changes in consumer spending, where the consumer price index does not. The quick example, move on. If suddenly the price of coffee doubled, the consumer price index would just have that as a factor, price of coffee double, you know, higher inflation. The PCE index would take into account that consumers, a lot of them may suddenly switch from coffee to tea. And so the price impact would not be as great. All right, so that's what we got going on there. Okay, so Apple. Apple and Amazon released their earnings numbers, close of business yesterday. They basically missed on their sales numbers. They missed on their profit numbers. Did not come in what was expected. They indicated they're having issues in the fourth quarter. So what's happening there? And we'll briefly talk about Starbucks here. Okay, so Apple, trading symbol AAPL, Apple, Apple, Paul, Larry. They are right now trading at $149 a share. It looks like even down 2.3%. They're down 2.3%. So they're down a little bit. Amazon, AMZN, Apple, Mary, Zebra, Nancy for Amazon. Let's see. Amazon is trading at, they're down about 3% also. Okay, so what's happened? Both of them are indicating supply chain issues. They're just not able to get the parts. That's Apple first. Apple, it's more supply chain issue. They say their demand is as high as it's ever been, but they're not able to get enough parts out there for iPhones, iPads, everything else. So theirs is not a demand issue, it's a supply issue. So the anticipation is they will resolve that. But Tim Cook, head of Apple, said it cost them $6 billion in sales, that they just do not get the products out there that people want. Amazon's products are a little more, issues are a little more varied. What Amazon is saying, that you have, they have more people now just returning to the retail stores. You know, you had people did a mix. They buy some stuff on Amazon, some at an actual store. And then when COVID hit, they went all to Amazon. Now they're beginning to go back to the mix. Amazon's also got some supply chain issues with some of their products. They also, you know, stuff they are just out of stock on Amazon. They also are saying there's a labor issue. They've got a labor shortage. So the workers they do have, they're having to pay them time and a half overtime. So that's cutting into their issues. So these are probably not long-term issues, but that's why the stocks aren't down that much. And then with Starbucks, Starbucks is actually down 7.2%. They announced that some of their workers will be getting upwards of $23 an hour. Some investors did question, you know, is that too much? The other issue is they had a big decline in sales in China and also here in the U.S. somewhat. China, a lot of Starbucks stores closed due to another outbreak of COVID. And we even had that here in the United States. I know my local Starbucks, not too far from where I live, they had reopened, you know, you could go inside and sit. And then when Delta hit, they shut that down again. It was just drive-through. Now they've reopened again. So anyway, we'll see what's going on there. But these are all probably more temporary things. All right, so we got that. And then just a couple other things here. Wrap things up for today. Let's see. Facebook. Facebook announced they're changing their name to Meta. You know, that's become big in the superhero world now, the Meta universe, you know, multiple universes and so forth, Meta powers and all that. So anyway, they're changing their name to Meta, M-E-T-A. That's going to officially happen in December, I believe. Okay, so Facebook's trading symbol right now is FB for Facebook. They're going to trade in December. They trade on NASDAQ. They're going to trade under the symbol MVRS, Mary, Victor, Ralph, Sam, probably Meta Virtual Reality something. Anyway, there's another company out there, Canadian Mining Company, and they are Meta Materials, symbol MMAT, Mary, Mary, Apple, Tom. And apparently investors ran that stock up 10% yesterday. Partly they assumed it was the wrong company's stock. So that's happened before. As I always tell everybody, do some research on that. There were some, I guess, some chat rooms on Reddit that said, hey, we knew it was the wrong company's stock. We're running it up anyway. And it came back down today. So getting back to where they were a couple of days ago. So we got that. And then the last thing. Today, Microsoft has become a more valuable company than Apple on the stock market, market capitalization. They are now the world's most valuable company. What market capitalization is, it's the number of shares of stock that make up a company by the stock price. But that's not especially indicative of how big a company is. We measure company size by their yearly sales. And just off the top of my head, Microsoft sales, symbol MSFT, Mary, Sam, Frank, Tom. We used to call him Mr. Softy on Wall Street for the ice cream trucks. About $178 billion a year. Let's see, Apple's around $347 billion. Amazon around $445 billion. And the world's largest corporation is actually Walmart at $567 billion a year in sales. So, all right, we have that also. All right, so we're going to wrap it up for today. Hope everyone's having a good day. Hope this stuff is helping. Ken, Bill Thompson, T-Bell. Talk to everybody again soon. See ya. Take care.